Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome back, friends, to Season 7 of the Bitter End podcast with me, Tom Denny.
And me, Todd Jordan.
Yes, we're back again, deep diving once more into a movie franchise. That's what we do here at the Bitter End podcast. We're going to pick a movie, we're going to watch all those movies to the bitter end to see what makes it tick. Is it good? Is it bad? Does it make sense? Who knows? And Todd, I've got to tell you, I'm excited about this one that we're doing.
What franchise are we doing for season 7?
We're doing The Muppets. Yes. Everyone's favourite puppets. It's going to be highs. There's going to be lows.
Wait a minute, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, Muppet Treasure Island, I've never seen.
No, Tom, I'm really sorry. It's not The Muppets, Tom.
I'm pretty sure it's The Muppets.
No, Tom, it's definitely not The Muppets. We are in the sort of the toys and puppets region. We're doing Child's Play this season, Tom.
I don't think I agreed to that. I remember very clearly watching a Child's Play trailer as a youngster on the front of a VHS, rented a film, watching it with the family. Child's Play trailer came up and I was like, no. No. That is scary. So sit back and settle in, folks, because we're going to watch The Muppets.
Not happening, buddy, Tom. I cannot let that happen.
Fine.
I'm going to have to strap you down like Clockwork Orange. Hold your eyes open because we are watching Child's Play. Over the course of season 7 of this podcast, we will be watching Child's Play 1, Child's Play 2, Child's Play 3, Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky, Curse of Chucky. And then after we've wrapped up the whole franchise, later this year, the new 7th Child's Play movie is coming out, Cult of Chucky. Oh. Tom, that is a lot of Chucky for somebody that doesn't like Child's Play.
Yeah, I've never seen the films. I just have a very clear image of one of the trailers to one of the films, and I was just like, nah, mate. Nah, leave it out.
Well, strap in, Daddy-O, because we are starting today with the ball that started it all, the 1988 movie Child's Play.
Yeah, and we did what we always do at the bitter end. Before we watch the film, we have a look at the trailer just to kind of ease ourselves in. And also, you know, I think importantly, get an idea of how they're pitching this film to the people at the time. People in 1988, what were they expecting out of Child's Play? And this was not the trailer that scared the shit out of me when I was younger.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm looking forward to finding out what that one was.
Well, that one had a lot more Chucky in it. This one, being the start of a horror franchise, first trailer, they're doing the thing that they always do with these. They're holding back because you don't know what Chucky's going to be. You don't know what is a Child's Play.
Yes, they're subtle with it. I mean, a lot of deaths, like you can tell from the trailer that some people gonna die.
People gonna die.
But it's, and you know that this doll is creepy as fuck. But
oh God, even when it's not like being, you don't actually see a shot of Chucky's face being like, evil. It's just Chucky is the lovable toy for kids. Fuck no!
Did you know that Chucky's based on a real doll? It was called, originally Chucky was called Buddy, and he was based on a toy manufactured by Hasbro called My Buddy. He's even got the same outfit. Listeners at home, if you are on the internet right now, you owe yourselves a Google of Hasbro My Buddy. You'll have a look at the doll. It is creepy, and this is a real one that was made. Apparently, the sales of the doll never recovered after the release of this film, and it was discontinued.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, if you're going to manufacture a fucking creepy-ass doll, you probably haven't done yourself many favours to begin with. But then the doll being turned into, like, some kind of evil murder thing, that's not going to help either.
Now, I have seen this film before. Mm. I haven't seen any of the sequels. I've only seen this first one. I loved it. But already I had forgotten quite a bit of what's in it, really, from the trailer. So there's various little bits that kind of springing back in my mind. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell from this trailer, kid's got a doll, gonna kill some people. People don't believe him, they're gonna die.
It's basically it, buddy.
That's kind of it. The only other thing I can say, like, the music in the trailer was pretty cool. It had a slight Rosemary's Baby-esque kind of quality to it.
Yeah.
Kind of creepy toy box kind of thing. And there's a good shot when someone's obviously just been murdered. There's loads of cops in the apartment, like, checking out the murder scene. There's one cop just sat on the sofa with his feet up reading the paper. Massive lad.
So yeah, just to kind of reiterate for you guys listening, you don't have to watch the movie to listen to this podcast, because in a minute we're going to go away, we're going to watch the whole thing, and then we're going to tell you about it. We're watching it, so you don't have to. But if you do want to watch it, you have seen it before, don't worry, come back and we can all go through this thing together.
Yeah, go through this together.
Tom, you'll be fine. I wouldn't let anything happen to you.
It's not easy being green.
All right, fucking buck up your ideas, pal. We're staying on point. It's Child's Play. Tom, do you want to play the IMDb guessing game? What score do you think Child's Play from 1988 scored by the users of IMDb?
Well, we've done the horror game a few times. They don't usually get higher than a 7 on the first one. And the first one's always going to be the highest. So I think it's going to be, I'm going to go for like a 6.7.
Oh, you're so close. Oh my God. It is a 6.5.
Oh, I mean, you know, like, that's not a super high score, but actually for a horror franchise first movie, that's pretty respectable. We've watched plenty of good 6.5s. I'm just fucked off. I've never gotten one of these right.
That's respectable score. Tom, I respect you.
I respect you.
So shall we go in, Tom? Shall we go in?
Yes. Yes, we will.
All right!
Everyone has a birthday they'll always remember.
Can we open my presents now, Mommy?
Hi, I'm Chucky.
He's something, isn't he?
This is Andy's.
Time for bed, Andy.
Good night, baby.
Good night, Aunt Maggie. Good night, Chucky.
There's nothing nice about murder. And there's nothing innocent about Child's Play.
Someday we'll find it, that rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and me. All of us under its spell.
No, Tom, no. Singing Rainbow Connection will not save you from what we just watched, which was straight up horrifying.
I gotta say, you know, we've watched some quote-unquote spooky films, some horror films. Oh, that one creeps me out, man.
Honestly, guys, I wish you could have sat next to Tom as I was to see his reaction. It's a little while into the movie until sort of Chucky really crosses into the uncanny valley. But when he does...
Oh, dude, I was just thinking that, like, it's that whole uncanny valley thing is why Chucky is so creepy. So any of our listeners that are not aware of what the uncanny valley is, it's like a term that applies a lot in like robotics and like computer animation simulations of like trying to recreate a human face, and like kind of like this kind of, I don't know, there's this whole weird balance between it being a very simplified human face and it creating empathy with a real human. And then when it gets a little bit too close to being realistic, it suddenly goes from creating loads of empathy to just being horrific.
Just and so horrific.
Creates repulsion in the person viewing it. And I think that's, I'm getting a lot of that.
Yeah, combined with the fact that in this case, the sort of simulation of a human goes around murdering people.
Oh no. Yeah.
Rat-roll.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, it was a good...
It's a good film, right?
It's a good horror film. And yeah, like I said, like one that actually I find genuinely scary, because like when we've been watching some of the other things like Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, I'm not scared by Freddy Krueger. I'm not scared by Jason. I understand why they're meant to be scary entities in the world of those films. Or you might find them scary if, you know, you're just not into those films, or you're really... like you were really young or something. But like something in this still kind of like I don't know, not even, I don't know if it's like scary, but just made me feel uncomfortable. And the only other thing I can kind of liken Chucky to is a bit like, you know, like the Alien movies.
I do know those movies.
Like the xenomorphs in those, they're scary. They're horrific. And it's one of those things where sometimes, you know, late at night, you might have watched one of those films. It's a little bit too late and your mind is wandering places it shouldn't. You know, and you're kind of like, I really hope that it's not some horrible coincidence that those things actually exist in real life. Have you ever thought, like, you know, be like, I know it's a film, and so it's fantasy, so the chances that it's real, I mean, it's not real, but what if they are? Those are horrible. I don't want to have to deal with those. And it's the same with Chucky. I don't want to deal with that mess.
Well, Tom, it is an infinite universe full of infinite possibilities. If the universe is infinite, the statistics would suggest that they do exist.
And we're not, you know, and we're not even taking into parallel universes. And...
Oh, yeah. So look, before we get too deep into the philosophy of the infinite universe and what can and cannot exist, we should talk a little bit more about Child's Play. Because, Tom, I know you're trying to do everything you can to avoid talking about it.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do it. And we're going to have to do it at least five more times after this. Possibly six when the new movie comes out. You are going to have to toughen up, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I can only hope that it's going to be five rather than six, because the fact that we've decided to talk about this franchise just means that the new film coming out isn't going to come out, because all the other times, like, anyone's tried to like redo a film that we like watched, Friday the 13th still hasn't happened yet, so maybe this still won't. I know the trailer's out, but it might not happen.
It's coming, buddy. So right, Child's Play, it kicks off. We are in the city of Chicago. It's nighttime. It's very Chicago-y. It's kind of got that Gotham City looking vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And we go straight in the deep end with big lad Brad Dourif.
Mm.
Brad Dourif is the voice of Chucky. In this, he's just a bloke at the moment. He's playing a character called Charles Lee Ray. Now, if you don't know who Brad Dourif is, you might recognize him from all kinds of places. He's in the Lord of the Rings movies. He plays Wormtongue, mm-hmm. the kind of creepy, pale advisor to the king guy with the lank black hair. He's in the TV show Deadwood. He's the doctor in that. He's got a small part in the movie Dune, David Lynch's Dune, as one of the mentats with the pink lips. He's in some other stuff.
He's in Halloween.
Yeah, apparently.
I don't know
so.
Who he is in Halloween. Apparently he's in Halloween.
Now, Brad Dourif has got a really interesting place in the echelons of horror. He is part of this select group of horror movie villainous actors. The 6x6 Club. Six actors who have each played an iconic horror movie villain six times or more. So you got Brad Dourif as Chucky, about to be seven times when the new one comes out. There's Doug Bradley, played Pinhead.
Big Dougie Bradzo.
There's obviously Christopher Lee, Lili McGee as Dracula. Yeah. He's a big one.
Surely we've got to have Bobby UK.
Oh, Bobby UK. Robert Englund as
Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger, thank you very much. He is absolutely on the list. Then you'll never guess who. Warwick Davis as Leprechaun.
Okay,
is
yeah.
in the club. And the last one that we've missed is surprising because it's such a new franchise, but Tobin Bell, who plays Jigsaw in the Saw movies.
Oh, okay.
He's in the list. But yeah, anyway, that's a bit of a pub quiz trivia horror movie nerdery for you there. But Brad Dourif is in this club. And when the movie starts, he's just a bloke. He's got Brad Dourif's like freaky, lanky face and pale skin. And he's running around, and he's the Lakeshore Strangler, and the cops have tracked him down. And it's night, and they're chasing after him with a gun.
Yeah, and the cop who's chasing after him is Prince Humperdinck from The Princess Bride. It's just Prince Humperdinck, people. That is who he is, and he's after Brad Dourif, who I always kind of feel like, maybe if Brad Dourif couldn't play Chucky, it could be the guy who played Pee Wee Herman could maybe step in.
Paul Rubens,
there's
yeah.
kind of like, he's like an evil Paul Rubens is how I kind of like viewed him. He chases him into this toy store and there's a shootout. Brad Dourif's already been shot once, and then Prince Humperdinck shoots him again. Brad Dourif lays down. The first few lines he has in this film are just all exposition, just to set up what's going on. He's like, oh my God, I'm dying. I'll get you! I'll get you no matter what!
Oh God, I'm dying. You hear that, you son of a bitch? I'm gonna get you for it!
I'm gonna get you, and I'm gonna get Eddie, no matter what.
Honestly, Brad Dourif is the consummate performer. He's so good in this, with like such a small like backstory. It's just like, you're just a bloke in a long coat and you're running around. Just like his face, his delivery is so intense.
He's creepy, man. He's a creepy
really
dude.
Really creepy. I fucking love him. And yeah, he's dying in the Toy Story. He's like, I'll get you no matter what. And then a few things happen. The toy store they're in gets struck by lightning. And it catches on fire while Brad Dourif delivers some sort of evil chant. There's a few sort of words in a language that we do not know. And then in English, he says, give me the power. I beg of you. And the building is struck by lightning. Everything catches on fire.
Everything explodes.
Everything explodes. There's a big explosion. And as Brad Dourif lays dying, he stumbles into a pile of good guy dolls.
Which is the doll that, like, they all look like Chucky.
They're the Chucky doll. They're not called Chucky because every good guy has its own name. It's part of their friendly little mystique. So they've all got different names. They all look the same. And Brad Dourif kind of stumbles into these, gets one out of the box.
He does his Kalamazoo, Whamalama Ding Dong, does his voodoo biz over it, and then kaboom.
Kaboom, kablam, and kablom.
Film over. No, it's not.
Sorry, Tom.
No, we instead cut to Andy.
Yes, so Andy is the six-year-old little boy. He's kind of our hero. I mean, he is only six.
Yep.
And he is a super-duper mega fan of Good Guys. They've got a cartoon show. He wears the outfit that the good guys wear in the cartoons.
He's merched out as fuck.
He's got everything. And then there's an advert on the TV to say that there's a new Good Guy doll coming out, the one that we've seen in the toy store. This struck me as odd. They've got the TV show. They've got the clothes. They've got the shoes. They've got the tool set that kids can buy. They've got the cereal. They've got everything.
Yeah.
They don't have the dolls yet.
Well, they must do, because the thing is, like, the thing that's weird is that it's Andy's birthday and there's this huge box on the sofa that, like, is waiting for him to open. And he's like, oh, I can't fucking wait to get into that. And then this advert comes on the television and Andy, like, sees it. It's like, oh, we've got this good guy doll. And he's like, wow. And it's kind of like, is this the first time you've seen it, or are you just so enamoured with the doll that you, every time you see the advert, you're just, it impresses me every time. Wow.
Now, Tom, I want to ask you some questions about what you think about Andy.
I mean, he would be the creepiest thing in this film if it wasn't for Chucky. He's kind of sinister.
He's like, got a weird delivery, right?
Very weird delivery, and you can't tell if it's just...
I mean, he's six.
He is six. And you can't tell whether or not, like, they've tried to be like, can you deliver it in such a way that it's kind of creepy? Because there's a lot of moments early on in the film where, like, Chucky's doing his biz, his evil biz, and people, you know, they don't think, well, it's a doll. A doll isn't real. And he's going, it was Chucky. Chucky did it. Chucky told me to do it. And so they've tried to make him seem kind of creepy so that, like, the mum is, like, freaking out, being like, my son might be fucking evil. And they could have... You could see how they could have, like, spun... If they'd spun the beginning of the film differently, it could have been, like, a fake-out that Andy was evil, but no, it's actually Chucky. But they show us too much at the beginning.
Yeah, if they didn't have that opening scene with Brad Dourif in the toy store, then, you know, we could have easily started this movie thinking that it's about a mum discovering that her son's a serial killer.
Yeah, I still think that there are moments in this where Andy is clearly like a psychopath or a sociopath or something like that, because he doesn't really seem to pick up on sort of human emotion.
Like when he's making breakfast, for example. It's his birthday. He's making his mum breakfast in bed because he's sweet, right? But the breakfast he makes...
Also, he just wants to get the fuck out of bed so he can open that big box.
Yeah. And so he burns some toast, wipes some ice cream on it. He gets a big bowl of Good Guy cereal.
Which looks like Lucky Charms. Like, this is the thing, like, in England... We don't have, like, that luminous fucking cereal that America has. You know, that cereal that's, like, 100% killing you from the inside out.
Our cereal is brown and boring.
Yes, that's the way we like it here. And then he gets this cereal out. And this is one of the things in the film that I was like, you're a monster, Andy. He gets this fucking sugared up, like, luminous cereal. And he puts fucking more sugar on it. Dude, I know you're six, but come on.
Get it together, pal.
And then he goes and fucking throws this breakfast on his mum. Goes, well, get that's the why. Fuck out of bed, woman. I want to open my present.
He knew he didn't have to eat it. It was going to be for her. He's trying to bring her blood sugar to dangerous levels.
Yeah. And he's like, get out of bed. I want to open that fucking big box. And Andy gets the comeuppance that villain deserves for putting sugar on that already sugary cereal. He opens the huge box, thinking it's going to be a good guy doll. It's just a huge box with a pair of jeans in it. And it's just like, the mum has been such a bitch to give him, like, this, yeah, just like, what a mean trick to play on a six-year-old kid. Just to be like, here you go, here's a huge box. It's some trousers, you dickhead.
It's like every child's worst nightmare, being given clothes on their birthday.
And then she gives him like a smaller present, which is like a good guy's toolkit. And he's like, I wish I had the box. And me and Todd are just kind of like, you ungrateful shit. She bought you jeans.
Yeah. And so there's not a lot kind of, they don't go into a lot of detail about Andy and his mum's kind of life together. His mum's called Karen. Mm-hmm. But we're able to glean a few little facts here and there. We know that Andy's dad is dead. Mm-hmm. We got, there's pictures of him around. There's later on a little line halfway through the film about him being in heaven, etc., etc. We know that money's a little bit tight. They live in quite a palatial apartment in the middle of Chicago, but his mum works in a jewelry section of a department store, and she has to work a lot of overtime. And so I feel like maybe they own the apartment outright, possibly from like from the life insurance or something.
But it's,
they
still need, still, yeah, yeah, a little bit tight, a little bit tricky.
So she can't afford to buy Andy this super pimped out good guy doll, which costs $100, guys.
That's crazy money. Yeah. That's 80s money as well.
But he really wants it, and she really wants to be able to provide it for him.
Yeah, so then we get sassy mate Maggie, who works at the department store with Andy's mum. And it's like, there's a fucking hobo out there selling good guy dolls. You want one of those, right? Let's go out and buy one off this hobo. And they go and do that. They have this weird exchange with the hobo where, like, they're kind of haggling with him. And, like, the sassy mate's kind of like, hey, how do we know this isn't stolen? It's like, you're buying it from a fucking hobo who's selling it out of a shopping trolley. Chances are it's stolen.
Yeah, she gets a brand new $100 doll for $30.
Yeah.
Don't ask questions.
Yeah, exactly. And then she goes, you know, so she goes home and gives that to Andy. Andy's made up. But she has to go and work overtime because the douchey boss,
Walter,
he's also like, you know, like he's in it very scant amount, but he's just like proper good nerdy 80s douchebag boss.
He wears a pink bow tie and he just kind of delights in making people's life slightly nastier.
Yeah, I'd like to see a spin-off movie with him. Hopefully he'll appear in the second film. Anyway, so, like, she has to go back and work. So so Maggie's like, well, I'll go and babysit Andy.
On his birthday. That's quite shit, isn't it?
But Andy doesn't give a fuck because he has got his good guy doll. And like Todd said, all the dolls have their own name. And so it's like, hi, I'm Chucky. And the guy, the strangler's name was Charles.
Charles Lee Ray.
Yeah. The good guy dolls seem to have been made for lonely children.
Yeah, well, that's very much when we see a little bit of the good guys TV show, like the opening sequence of it is like this little, it's a cartoon and this little boy walking along going, I don't have any friends. And then like a good guy comes out,
out of the sky,
and he's like, I'll be your friend. Come with me. We'll go to the good guy clubhouse.
Yeah.
Friends forever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to be such friends. Oh, yeah.
It's like I mean, it's actually very in keeping with like 80s cartoons and toys, like, because, like, you know, like Care Bears and stuff, that was all about like sad children, you know, and like, you remember, like, there was like My Pet Monster, do you remember?
Yeah.
You know, like, there was all these toys that were like, buy your best friend for your fucking weird kid.
Well, don't forget, this is based on a real toy, which was called My Buddy.
Oh, yes, of course, of course. Anyway, babysitting. Andy's gotten very attached to Chucky very quickly, and Chucky's supposedly telling him a lot of things, and this is where the kind of like, is Andy crazy? Is this all in his head kind of stuff could be kind of playing out if you just didn't know, like, nah, it's maybe in 1988, you know, going from what we saw in the trailer, it's not explicit that it's this doll, is it?
No.
So maybe there might be some people go like, don't know what that was all about with that bloke dying at the beginning, but this kid's fucking creepy. I bet he's the killer.
Yeah. So what we get with this scene is that it's Andy's bedtime. But as Andy says to his babysitter, oh, well, Chucky wants to stay up and watch the news. And Maggie's like, well, Chucky's going to have to go to bed with you. She puts him to bed, bimbles about the house, boobity-boo. And then all of a sudden the TV's on and Chucky's on the sofa watching the TV. And she's mad with Andy. She's like, no, it's not a funny joke. I told you not to do that. It's time for bed. Chucky didn't like that, did he? Chucky didn't like that, being put to bed.
Because he wants to watch the news because it's all about him.
Yeah, it's all about him and like the shootout at the toy store. And there's also news on there that his accomplice, who it's we've led to believe might have possibly ratted him out, has escaped escaped custody.
Yes.
And so he's like, oh, that rat, that no good dirty rat's escaped. Anyway, the babysitter interferes. She's walking around the house. Some creepy noises, some creepy little noises. And we get some cool low-angle POV shots of the camera just kind of like sneaking around the house.
Chucky cam.
Chucky cam, yeah. And then she's all alone and she's like, oh, well, I'm glad that nothing spooky's going to happen. And then, oh my God! She gets hit in the head with a hammer.
Like a toy hammer.
Like a toy hammer, but it leaves a bloody mark.
Yeah.
And then she goes, whoa, whoa, backwards, falls out of the window. And then there's this really cool slow-mo shot of her falling to her death.
Yeah, she's like falling, no, boom, straight into a fucking car.
Good night, nurse.
That is it. The build-up to this was pretty good. There were a lot of kind of like those fake-out tents. You should go, oh God, there's a plant pot. No, there's nothing behind the phone. Oh, the phone rings. Oh, hello. You know, like this.
It's well executed, this whole bit.
Yeah, yeah. And then suddenly it's just kind of like Chucky goes, ah, boop, and like donks on the head with his hammer. But you don't see, we haven't seen Chucky yet. Like, you've had these shots of him kind of like running around in the background, but we haven't had the full on reveal of the fucking horror that is Chucky. And it's coming.
We will get there. We will get there.
So, Mum Karen, she comes home. Humperdinck's there. Karen runs through a police blockade, up several flights of floors to her flat. She runs past about 20 policemen on the way in before someone goes, hey, you can't go in there. This is a closed crime scene. She goes, I live here. She comes in, sees the guy sat on the sofa reading the paper. Massive lad. Talks to Humperdinck. Humperdinck just fills her in on everything. This is when we think that Andy might be a sociopath because, like, he's... She gets kind of grumpy at him because he keeps on talking about, well, Chucky said this and Chucky said that. And she's like, will you stop being a fucking dickhead, Andy? And she's like, are you talking to me like this because your mate's dead? And it's kind of like, it's like, yeah, mate. Like, six-year-olds still have empathy. Well, apart from Andy.
It's also, he's got this weird thing where Andy can't say Chucky. He says Chucky every time, and it drives me insane. It wasn't me, it was Chucky.
Chucky.
Chucky did it.
At least, the good thing, at least he doesn't have that very American child actor, that thing of like loads of W's in there that, you know, why, wow, woo, that kind of shit. Yeah,
like, yeah. He doesn't talk like,
dog. Fucking Scooby-Doo. yeah. So that's happened.
Yeah. So Karen sends Andy off to school the next day. He's like, look, don't worry about last night. Everything's going to be fine. Take Chucky with you. But just remember, he's just a doll, okay? It's like, okay, okay. Then she goes off to work. And straight away, like a little bad lad, Andy cuts class.
Fucking rebel.
He's got the Chucky doll in his hands, who's like as big as he is, basically.
Yeah, he's huge.
And he gets on a train all on his own, and he gets the train to the bad side of town.
He goes, you know, and like, he is six. No one seems to bat a fucking eyelid that, like, there's this unattended six-year-old with a giant doll on the train heading out to the bad side of town. Oh, he's getting off at the bad side of town. Oh, he's just walking around with all these kind of like, all these like hobos and drifters all hanging around their burning cans of trash. And like, he walks out into this like desolate kind of like rundown area and all this kind of shit, and basically Chucky's been whispering in his ear, because Chucky's like, we need to go out to this fucking shithole, yeah, because that's where the dirty rat who snitched on me is hanging out.
Eddie.
Andy's like, I gotta take a piss, Chucky. I'm just gonna leave you here. And then, like, Chucky fucks off while he's taking a slash and sneaks into an almost cartoonishly run-down hovel. There's rats on everything.
Well, to be fair, Eddie is laying low while the cops are looking for him. So, yeah, it's the correct place for him to be. And he's got a gun and he's obviously a little bit nervous, but thinks he hears something in the house. What Chucky does is he sneaks up to the oven. I'm glad that this derelict house has a perfectly functioning gas oven.
Yeah, they haven't cut that off, obviously.
No, turns the gas on and just leaves it on. And then Eddie turns a corner, sees Chucky, we think, but we don't see what he sees. Fires his gun. The gun sparks a big explosion. And then the house explodes. Second big explosion of the movie. What the fuck?
I know. The thing in this, like, this was quite a cool, kind of like sneaky death, and it still hasn't revealed Chucky. But what was more chilling is just being like, Andy is not right. Because he's been... A doll has suggested he go out to this terrifying part of town, and he is seemingly completely unfazed by all the sinister kind of, like, you know, goings on and all these kind of, like, strange people around him. And he hears gunfire when the guy is shooting at what he, you know, like at Chucky in the house. He hears gunfire and runs in the direction of gunfire, just going, Chucky! Like, he is happy as a clam. Walking,
it's very unusual.
I would be more afraid. I'm more afraid now as a 35-year-old man than that fucking 6-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember being that age and being like, you know, I would be afraid of my mate's parents.
Yeah, I would not say boo to a goose because you do not fuck with goose.
It'll break your arm with its wing.
Exactly. So, still... potentially terrifying subplot boiling along with Andy there.
Well, I think a lot of the characters in this movie would agree with you, because the next thing that happens is the cops hand over, and they find Andy at the scene of the explosion, and they hand him over to a super creepy child psychologist.
Oh, God.
This guy, it looks like if you merged the faces of Nick Nolte and Gary Boo Boo Boosie.
Yeah. It just looks like both of them, but with smaller teeth.
Yeah.
And he puts Andy in the most Dickensian of child prisons / asylums. It's bleak as fuck.
Yeah, it's just like children lying around in the corridors dressed in rags. And
yeah, and like all the walls are peeling and it's all dilapidated and shit. And they're kind of like, your son's a fucking weirdo. We're sticking him in the fucking hovel for children.
While this is happening, Karen obviously isn't very happy. She's like, feels bad for her son, but she goes home and she's got Chucky, and she's like talking to Chucky kind of out of frustration, starts to think that maybe she's going a bit mental. Chucky looks at her and not in the Brad Dourif voice, but in the toy voice, is like, hi, I'm Chucky. Want to play? We'll be friends till the end. Heidi ho. Whacka, whacka, whacka. And then she notices something weird when she goes to throw the box away.
What's that?
The batteries are still in the box. And this is where the movie kicks up again.
Oh, God.
It really does. This whole bit, it's very long, almost virtually dialogue-free scene, and it just plays the tension out so well. So she goes to check the doll, opens up the back of the doll. No batteries in there. She's freaked out. She's like, did it talk to me? I'm pretty sure it talked to me. I'm pretty sure that doll talked to me. It shouldn't have been able to talk without the batteries in. So she starts talking. She's like, say something. Say something, you bastard. Doll won't say anything. She's really at the end of her tether. She's had a nightmare day. So she turns on the fire. They're in a big fireplace. They've got this instant like light-up fire. And she's like, oh, listen to me, you motherfucker. I don't think she calls him a motherfucker. Yeah.
Listen to me, you son of a bitch. You're going to talk to me right now.
And she basically says, look, if you're going to say something...
I'm going in the fire.
I'm going to burn you. And then... Chucky just goes fucking apeshit.
Oh my God.
His head turns around and now he's not talking with the doll voice, he's talking with Brad Dourif's voice.
You stupid bitch, you filthy slut! Did you fuck with me?
And he bites her on the arm and his mouth takes on this horrible shape where he's like,
no, he's got this sneer. It's the sneer when like Chucky goes full on evil. And that's what I remember being terrified by in this like trailer that I saw like when I was younger. Like it's nasty. It just looks so fucking angry.
I would also like to add as an addendum that it's amazing. It's so good, guys. It's really well executed. The the animatronics, I guess it might be, whatever.
A bit of animatronics, bit of puppetry. Yeah.
It's really good because the face is just so. It's like a different face in every single shot, but in every single shot, it's virtually still. There's a few where the mouth moves, like in the biting, but it's just like, oh, it doesn't look. Like, I don't know how to describe it.
It's just very, very creepy. And yeah, so like Chucky bites her and he goes, "You fucking bitch, I'll call him her." He goes, "Fucking bananas." He makes like Freddy Krueger, like, "Oh, damn, you've got a dirty mouth, son." He turns the air blue and then he fucks off. He escapes in the lift. And then, so she's like, right, I've got to go and talk to Prince Humperdinck right fucking now. Prince Humperdinck, look at this bite I've got on my arm. What is up with that?
Yeah, my son wasn't lying. The doll really is alive. You've got to go and find out what's going on, catch this monster and let my son go free.
Is it around now that she starts to twig that it is the strangler? Like, so it's what Chucky the man in Chucky the doll?
So what happens is... Prince Humperdinck, aka the policeman, is like, "Well, I don't know how to help you. I mean, where did you get the doll from?" And she's like, "Oh, I bought it from a creepy peddler. So I guess I'll have to go ask him. It's in some alley downtown." And as she's going off, he's like, "Don't go down there at this time of night. It's dangerous." And she's like, "Ah, fuck you. I'm going." That's not what she says, but yeah. She goes. She's then trying to track down this creepy peddler. And this is quite a good scene. Very reminiscent of the opening scene of the first Howling movie, where she's just like, she's all dressed in her pastels and she's walking around the doidy part of town and she's going up to all these creepy people trying to find the guy that sold her the doll. And they're all looking at her weirdly. And then she finds the guy and he's like, "What do you want? What do you want? What do you want?" And she's like, "Oh, you got to tell me where you got that doll from." And he's like, "Well, how much you got?" She says, "Oh, you can have everything I've got on me. There's some dollars." He's like, no, it's not enough. You gotta give me more. She's like, "I don't have anything more." And he's like, Oh yeah, you do. You got plenty more." And it's so creepy. It's getting all creepy. But then Prince Humperdinck is there to save the day. And he like smacks the hobo up and he's like, "You gotta tell us where it came from. Leave the lady alone." Smack, 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 smack.
Yeah.
And he says, "Oh, I got it from this burned out toy store on Wabash Avenue." And the cop's like, "I know that place. I was there when it burned down. I was the guy that shot Charles Lee Ray." And then Karen is like, "Charles Lee Ray, is he the Redshaw Strangler?" And that's kind of how they get to talking about it. And she kind of makes the leap on her own that, like, oh, if the Redshaw Strangler died there when it got struck by lightning and it burned down and that's where the toy came from, then that's probably...
And then the accomplice got killed and thing and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, "You can't go... Humperdinck, you got to watch out because Chucky's going to try and kill you." And then he's like, "Nah, he's probably not going to try and kill me." He fucking does, you know?
Tries and fails.
He's like driving along in his car and then Chucky comes out. He pops up behind him and he's all like, and he's pulling that horrible face and Humperdinck's like, "Oh, fuck me." He's trying to strangle Prince Humperdinck and he's trying to stab him in the dick through the car seat. He's like, "Fuck, fuck, 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 fuck." Humperdinck is like jumping up. He's like, "Whoa, not my peen." And then he crashes the car. And then like Chucky's there like he's trying to stab him like because he's trapped in this crashed upturned car and Chucky's kind of stalking around the outside. Humperdinck fires off a few shots. He shoots Chucky once and Chucky fucks off.
Yeah, he didn't like getting shot because all this while he's got his rad little stabber. He's going, "You can't hurt me. You can't hurt me."
Oh, and he gets burnt in the face. Like Humperdinck burns him in the face with a cigarette lighter from the car. And he's like, "Oh, well, maybe he can hurt me." Cut back to Karen. She's gone to find Chucky the man's flat
where
he lived.
Prince Humperdinck, the cop, told her the address of Charles Lee Ray's house. Mm. So she goes there, and this is a really cool set. Like, you know, obviously, you know, we're all big fans of when you see, like, a serial killer's nutty room in, like, a film. This is a nutty room. He's, like, painted these murals all around the wall, and they're all of him, like, naked with, like, a sword being worshipped. and stuff, and he's got all this crazy writing.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of it all, there's this one really big one, which is him on his knees worshipping this like kind of voodoo priest guy.
Yeah, and there's something like, is it something like Dambala or something?
Yeah,
like
the writing on the mural says, "Oh, thank you, mighty... mighty Dambala, for life after death."
So this must be like, oh, he's like worshipping this kind of like voodoo god. Humperdinck shows up. It's like, "Hey, what up? Guy tried to stab me in the peen. That wasn't good. Who's this guy on the wall? We better find who he is." So like there's one of these people on the mural. And they go, "Well, we got to go and try and find this guy. He might be a real guy." Chucky finds him first.
It's a voodoo priest called
John.
John Bishop.
John the voodoo guy.
Yes.
And here we're going to get some sick-ass exposition on what's going on. So John was like, I think maybe he ran like kind of like a hokey voodoo gift shop, but he was actually into some sick-ass voodoo stuff with the old Dambala and the all this kind of biz that was on those murals. And he taught Chucky as a man all about all this kind of voodoo stuff and how he was the one that he learned how to transfer his consciousness into the doll of Chucky. And Chucky's like, "Hey, look at me. I'm a doll now. That's pretty cool. But why am I bleeding? Why did I get shot? Like, I thought I couldn't be hurt." And John the voodoo guy is like, "Mate, you're turning into a real boy.
I'm a real boy."
But then Chucky's like, "I don't want that. I don't want to be this fucking abomination for the rest of my life."
Yeah, he wants a chance at something like a normal life again.
Mm.
And yeah, John Bishop is like, "The longer you stay in this form, the more human it will become. And eventually your heart will turn human and then you'll be able to die again." And Chucky's like, "Fuck that. What can I do?" He's like, "Well, the only way out of it..." I don't know why John Bishop tells him... Right, John Bishop tells him this. At first he's like, "I'm going to kill you because you're an abomination."
Yeah.
And then Chucky's brought his own voodoo doll of John Bishop and he's like breaking his legs and snapping his arms. And he's like, make it stop. I'll tell you how you can get out of this doll's body. What you have to do is transform your soul back from the doll to the body of the first person you revealed your true self to, which happens to be Andy, the six-year-old boy.
Mm.
Chucky gets all excited. He's like, "I'm going to be 6 years old again."
Yeah, and he kills Voodoo John by stabbing the voodoo doll by saying the very creepy line, "I've got a date with a six-year-old boy." Bosh! Kills John. And then Humperdinck and Mum get there just in time for John to be like, "Oh, you got to save the boy." Cut to Andy in the Dickensian child prison. We get, and he sees that Chucky is like scaling the building, trying to get to him. And oh God, the horror of Chucky takes on a whole new level. Not only just like the sneery, horrible fucking puppet, but the long shots, like the full body shots of Chucky, where it's clearly a small person in a full, you know, in a Chucky suit. Oh, they're horrible. I don't know what it is about these, like, where this is probably like the peak of uncanny valleyness, because it's not even a puppet. It's just, it's human, properly human motions, but with this dead Chucky shell. And those bits, fuck me up.
Yeah, it's amazing when you see him walk and like just the way he swings his arms, and Andy sees him coming through the window. He sees him like coming up the stairwell and he's like, like creepy Dr. Nick Nolte, Gary Boosie Boo Boo. You've got to let me out. And the doctor's like, "Well, now we'll just give you like a little injection. You'll just feel a little prick and then it'll all be over." But nah, son, Chucky's got other ideas. Ooh, and he puts an electroshock therapy hat on the doctor and he like electroshocks him, and it's, you know, it's like quite a nasty death, and he's like, and you're like, "Ah, oh, that looks painful," but then it cuts back to him one more time, like, and then he's like bleeding from the gums and the eyes, and you're like, "Oh,
his skin's all kind of burn and yeah,
that's just horrible,
that's not good."
Nah.
Humperdinck and the mum show up and you're like, "Fuck, we're really bad at getting you to the right place at the wrong time, aren't we? We're always a little bit too late. Where's Andy gone?" Like, one of the other girls in the hospital has been like oh, he's fucked off because Chucky was looking for him. And the mum's like, I always told him to go home. If he was ever in trouble, there's a key under the mat. So they go back to the flat. And Andy gets in there and he kind of tries to almost, he's hiding in a cupboard. What's in the cupboard but some fucking sick Muppet Babies merch? It's all come full circle. There's some Muppets in this thing. And for a brief second, I'm like, yeah, the Muppet Babies was fucking great. I love that. And then, oh no, 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 Chucky bashes Andy over the head with a baseball bat.
Tom, I put it to you that if you saw one of the Muppet Babies walking around in the real world, that would be fucking terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, that would. But anyway, Andy's like, he gets a little baseball bat out. Nah, doesn't faze Chucky. He gets off of me, boshes him over the head. He starts doing all the voodoo business. At which point, Humperdinck and Mum Karen, they burst in to try and save the day. And they have a bit of a scrap with old Chucky.
And he starts.
It's quite a long bit, this, isn't it? Like,
it's a long fight, and it's like there's some moments of genuine terror, like when you said, "Oh, Chucky, you know, bops Andy on the head with the baseball bat." He really hits him quite hard.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's like very jarring in a movie to see like a 6-year-old boy be hit over the head with a baseball bat.
Yeah,
like he drops unconscious. It's not done in like a cartoonish way. It's just like bonk. He's gone. Could be dead. Turns out he's not. What the mum manages to do. That big fireplace that she almost burnt him in the first time. Should have bloody done it. Well, she's learned her lesson now. She manages to trap Chucky in the fireplace. She's got the child-friendly fire guard up.
And this is like horrible, this bit, because Chucky is behind the fire guard and he is just feral. He's like, just like, and he's flailing around. And she's there, like, just with this behind her head, just going, and it's ugly and horrible. And I'm just like, oh God, please burn it. Burn it now. And Andy's the one who fucking throws the match in.
Yeah, and he gets a good line. Like, there's a little bit where Chucky tries one last time to like appeal to Andy as like a child. And he sort of says, hey, don't hurt me. Didn't we say we were going to be friends till the end? And then Andy says, this is the end, friend. Drops the match,
bosh,
burns him up, and this is hideous.
Oh God, yeah, because then like the burning Chucky doll bursts out the fireplace and just running around, just going, ah, fuck, I'm on fire, and like, oh my God, like all the kind of like the real person in a Chucky suit is all made all the more horrifying by being on fire. All the shots of Andy, the little child actor, he looks genuinely terrified or quite disturbed. He's like, what the fuck is this shit going on right now? And then he burns up and we think that Chucky is dead. Prince Humperdinck at the moment, he's in another room. He hasn't been there because Chucky fucked him up a bit. He gave him a bit of a shank in, gave him a bit of a punch in the face. And they're like, oh my God, thank fuck for that. That's good. Oh no, the Chucky doll's gone.
Uh-oh.
And then the burnt up Chucky doll starts chasing the mum and Andy around the house.
Oh, this is so scary because he's got like still little tufts of ginger hair, but like his skin is all like just charred and burnt. He's got this one eye that's still open. His teeth are bared because his lips have burned away. And he's got this rad little peen stabber.
Oh, and then like the mum just like has got a gun that she got off Humperdinck and like shoots him up, like, and like his head comes off, his arm comes off, a leg comes off. She shoots him through the chest a load of times, thinks he's dead. Thank fuck for that. At which point, Prince Humperdinck's police partner, who is just this kind of douchebag who has amazing jackets and a really cool moustache and a sick bald patch, he comes through and is like, hey, what the fuck's going on here? Oh, and they're like, oh, stay away from that doll. The doll is evil. The doll will kill you. He's like, that doll's not going to kill me. I'm going to pick the doll up. I'm going to wave it around. Oh, fuck. Oh, God.
Chucky's like arm comes around and starts trying to strangle him. And he's like, ah, kill the doll. Kill the doll. I made a mistake. You should kill the doll. Kill the doll. Kill the doll. Please, I made a mistake. Kill the doll. Kill the doll. Please, kill the doll.
Bang.
They killed the doll.
Shoot it. Shoot it through the heart this time. Blood goes. Slow motion doll flies against the wall, slumps down against the wall, and then they're just kind of like, well, that's dead now, isn't it?
And then as they're leaving, Andy is like, he's the last to leave the room, and he looks back at the charred remains of Chucky the doll, and then we get a little shot of Andy peering through the door looking sad, and then freeze frame, and then the credits roll.
And it's an odd shot to end on. I feel like it should have ended on like a lingering kind of like close up on like the Chucky face or.
I
don't know. It felt like that shot was implying something, but I don't know what it was implying.
Well,
you know?
Is it implying that Andy's seen something still? Maybe some movement, and we just don't know.
Maybe, or is it implying something like mate did? Did he transfer something into Andy?
Yes, well.
Or did they just, or was it just a lazy shot to end on?
I don't know, brah.
But that was the end of the film. Ha. Okay, well.
Tom, I know it was traumatic. What, I'll ask you again, what did you think?
I did like it in that it was actually like, genuinely quite a tense watch.
Totally.
Yeah, like it creeped me out. Like, you know, I'm interested to see kind of where they go with it. Like, because I don't know if this... I don't know if it's going to become like a bit like with the Nightmare on Elm Street ones where it becomes a little bit more funny.
I definitely think there's going to be some wacky ones when we move into like the noughties for sure.
Yeah. But
I haven't seen any of the others, so I don't know what's coming. Definitely, I'm super keen to like strap in and watch Child's Play 2. I just want to know how they're going to bring him back from being burnt the fuck up.
Yeah.
And then I just want 90 more minutes of him running around stabbing peens, to be honest.
Yeah. Because he hasn't got a peen yet. He was very close with Prince Humperdinck, but, yeah. You know.
Nicked it, maybe.
Yeah, I wonder if, you know, do you think... I mean, I'm assuming that Andy will be back.
I haven't looked at the cast list or anything. I know that Brad Dourif is definitely back.
But... Yeah, I mean, but I'm assuming that maybe Andy could be back. We could still have Humperdinck back, because, I mean, unfinished peen business...
It feels like Karen, the mum, would probably be a safe bet.
It's not a big cast for a slasher film. It's not a big cast, but there were still some cool deaths in it. And I feel it had more scares and more tension than some of the other slashers that we've watched.
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah. Good on you, freaky fucking ginger doll.
So, Tom, just, I suppose, one last question, really.
Is my favourite Muppets film? Glad you asked.
just out of interest, real quick, what is it?
Muppets Christmas Carol.
Okay, yeah, me too, probably.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask was, let's say we've thrown $1 million at you. We've got the poster. It says Child's Play 2. You've got a weekend to write the script.
Okay.
Like, how are you going to bring it back?
I would probably have the charred remains of Chucky somehow manages to like transubstantiate his consciousness into another doll.
I wonder why it would be another doll.
I wonder as well, because that's the only thing that can happen, because we know it's going to be the doll. The doll's not going to suddenly heal itself. So it has to find a way to somehow just get back into the exact same... He must be so... Get so pissed off with that, because he's not happy being in...
You know what I'd do? Toy collector has a good guy doll. They're expensive.
Mm.
Bits break. Like it's broken, gets wet or something, falls downstairs, something broken. So he's like, he's a real obsessive collector, or maybe like gotta please his spoiled kid or something. And he has to send around and try and get like spare parts.
Yeah,
and like somehow ends up getting given, oh, we've got this trashed doll. The doll's been destroyed, but like, oh, this motor inside it still works. And that's like the kind of the evil heart of the possessed doll.
Yeah, because I guess... the end of this film, it's quite a tight ending. You could just leave it at that, because they're, you know, like the rules that they said, like it's this voodoo thing. His heart is real. Shoot him through the heart. You saw the blood all come like gushing out. He's got no fucking head. He's all burnt as shit. He's pretty fucking dead. But at the same time, voodoo. This voodoo rules, baby. It's gonna be loose. You can do whatever you want. So
anything goes, loosey goosey, baby.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go.
Well, I for one can't wait to see it, and I for one am glad that you have joined us for kicking off the start of season 7 of the Bitter End podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks again for listening. If you want to drop us a line, you can find us on Twitter @BitterEndPod or on Facebook @BitterEndPod. Please do let us know what you think. I'm Todd Jordan.
I'm Tom Denny.
Sleep well, Tom.
It's time to play the music. It's time to light the light. time to move.